Yep, to the yep. You already know what time it is, man. It's your girl POC. We back live 900 AM WRD 96.1 Word Radio. Today is Friday, October 25th. You're locked and loaded. If you want to see my face as well as my guest's beautiful face, make sure you click that bio to take you directly where you need to be, which is Word TV. You can always, always, always join in on the conversation. We want you to engage. Everything we do is a FUBU effect. 215-634-8065. Toll free 1-866-361-0900. You already know. Download the app. The Word Radio app right now in your Google Play or your Apple stores today. And then also make sure you go to Eco Word, the Eco Word tab on wordradio.com, so you can stay locked with all the recaps, all the interviews, everything we got going on here with Eco Word every Friday starting at 10 a.m. bringing you that greener, safer Philadelphia conversation. I got the homie on the line, journalist Sophia Smith. She is amplifying community voices, but also telling stories that need to be told, specifically in this environment to reign right now in the city of Philadelphia. And I'm excited to have her on. Sophie, please reintroduce yourself and let the people know exactly who you're listening to.
Yes, so glad to be here. I'm Sophia Schmidt. I'm a reporter at WHYY, and I cover climate and environmental justice.
Sophie, how long have you been covering environmental justice, if you don't mind me asking?
So I've been in this role for almost 3 years. And then
Awesome.
my previous role, I was a general assignment reporter. So I covered absolutely everything. But I did do, you know, I tried to focus in where I could on climate and environmental justice there too. And that was back in Delaware.
I love that. Thank you for the work that you're doing. I was just talking to you offline, and then I want to make sure I say this on air. You know, we need more conversations and more stories like what you're doing, because not a lot of people are covering these stories. So we want to know what's going on. So that's why we bring you on, you know, at least once a month here on Eco Word, so we can highlight the work that you're doing over at WHYY, the climate desk, as well as Billy Penn. So thank you again for the work that you're doing. And how can they check your articles out again before we get into our next conversation? Because this is a good one.
Yes, totally. You can find all of our articles on WHYY.org. And if you want to listen to the radio, we're 90.9 FM.
And Sophie, you just really released an article talking about how PES refinery redevelopers are going to commit to community benefits. You know, they're actually going to do something for the community this time. You know, the developers are not coming. They just eat up the property, eat up the city. They're actually trying to do something for the city. Talk to us a little bit about this.
Yeah, so this was a pretty like long anticipated development. This has been a conversation for a couple years, for the whole time I've been covering the former refinery site. So just to we all remember, this is the huge site along the Schuylkill River in South Philadelphia. That it's 1300 acres. This is the place where, you know, it used to be the PES refinery, which had a fire and series of explosions in 2019, closed the following year, was sold, and was purchased by this redevelopment company called Hilco Redevelopment Partners was the name when it bought the property. It's now called HRP Group. So since this company bought the property, there has been some organizing around, you know, nearby communities.
They didn't get really, I don't mean to cut you off, but they didn't get really clever. They just turned the
Hilco
redevelopment. Yeah, they just literally just took the name and turned it into an acronym. But keep
yes,
going. Just call me off
exactly.
guard.
I just want to be clear. That's who I'm talking about. You might have heard the name Hilco. So this is HRP Group equals Hilco. So yeah, like I was saying, shortly after they bought this property, they're started some organizing around nearby community groups in Southwest and South Philadelphia to try to get a community benefits agreement for this development. Because like I mentioned, it's a massive property. And so what the current redevelopment plans are for the property, it is contaminated because of its, you know, century plus use as for petroleum related uses. And so this company and another company are remediating the soil. They're also capping and, you know, paving over the soil, regrading the property because most of it is in the floodplain next to the river. And then the plans for development are warehouses. So the southern portion of the site in South Philly is going to become a logistics hub. So think like Amazon style warehouses. And then the northern portion of that site, which is next to like Gray's Ferry up near Point Breeze, is planned to be a life sciences campus. So this is like R&D, research and development, manufacturing, likely of pharmaceuticals or that type of thing. That's the intent at this point. So where things are at, if you've driven along the site, you probably have seen the first warehouse coming up. So the first one is in vertical construction. The second one is they're like prepping the site pad. It's in horizontal construction. And then the rest is all still just plans. So that's where that's at. So
and it's a huge site. Like, it's really huge. And for people, just to kind of paint a picture, picture coming down the 76 bridge. You just took the exit on 95, exit 13. You're coming down the bridge. You're passing the Wawa that's on your right. And you see this big old refinery that's on your left or on your right side, depending on how you're coming up or going down the bridge. And then you make that left to go onto 70 to bear onto 76 before you just get into South Philly and you drive. And I know everyone's like, what are they building over there? What are they building on that side? That's what we're talking about right here. I hope I painted a picture for those who are listening.
Yes, that was perfect. Exactly. Yeah. And like, you might remember, like in years past when you drove over that bridge, you could see the refinery and
it's
now
just
it's
smoking up in the air. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So now it's like mostly dirt. So that is the current development plan. So this community benefits agreement was like a dream of, nearby community groups for years. And then what was announced this past week was a community benefits commitment, is what the company is calling it. So this was, more than a year's worth of meetings with the company's community advisory panel and some other groups to kind of, figure out what are the priorities, what will the company commit to. And in the end, 16 groups, including one of those 16 is actually a coalition of groups, signed on. And so I can tell you a little bit about what's in this commitment.
Please.
Obtained a copy of it. And then the company actually released it publicly. So the biggest kind of headline new commitment is a new nonprofit that will be formed that will distribute discretionary funds for community initiatives. So this could be, any kind of community priority, but for example, it could fund like gun violence prevention projects or housing stability projects. It has to be nonprofit uses, non-political. And the decisions of like what gets funded by this would be made by a 7-member board that has like a company representative, some representatives appointed by the council person, currently Kenyatta Johnson, as well as some from these community groups that are part of this advisory panel. And this fund will get at least $100,000 a year from the company. It can go up to $200,000 a year based on how much space the company is successful in leasing out. And the term of the commitment is 10 years with an optional extension. So the minimum that has been committed here is $100,000 a year for 10 years. So 1 million over 10 years. The other elements of this commitment were largely things that had already been announced. So the commitment document like recaps previously made commitments, for example, some non-monetary stuff around development. So making the buildings like LEED certifiable, a certain amount of EV chargers, EV charger ready, spaces for passenger cars, like transit connectivity. All of that had already been discussed. And then, some commitments around setting goals for minority contracting for construction and professional services at a rate of 50%. That had already been agreed to with the city in 2020. Some monetary commitments that were also included that had already been announced include $3.5 million worth of internships and other career opportunities for career development opportunities for School District of Philly students, tree planting in Southwest Philly with Bartram's Garden. And then there's a couple other new things around sort of transparency and reporting to this community advisory panel. But like I mentioned, the really kind of newest thing is this nonprofit with the discretionary fund.
That's a lot, honestly. Thank you for breaking all of that down. Of course, I have 1,000 questions, but my main question is, does this actually benefit the residents of South and Southwest Philadelphia?
I mean, that's a really good question that I don't know if I'm equipped to answer at this point. I think some more context on, I guess, putting this agreement in context. So the company says that They expect their total community benefit commitment to be at least $10 million in value. And that includes this fund I mentioned, as well as these previous commitments. And the community benefits agreement that the mayor recently announced for the proposed Sixers arena in Center City is $50 million. Mm. So this is a really, really large piece of property. And you can see that like their, you know, total commitment, including things that were already announced, is much smaller than what is being talked about for this proposed Sixers arena. Mm-hmm. So that's one kind of data point to think about. There has been some criticism of this commitment coming from the group Philly Thrive, which is a Grays Ferry based nonprofit yeah. that has been active for a number of years, even since before the refinery shut down, you know, pushing for the refinery to shut down, pushing for the next use to not be a refinery. They focus on a couple things, but a big focus for them is environmental justice. Yeah. And so they've expressed concerns that this this commitment doesn't adequately address those concerns. So like, for example, they're worried about the logistics hub, the warehouses having these diesel trucks that will come through and, you know, bring more air pollution. And so there's no commitment around that in this commitment. And so like, so there's that. There was also sort of some hints that there was hesitancy amongst one of the coalition that signed on. They testified at a council committee hearing earlier this month on an extension of basically tax breaks for the property, saying to council members, please delay voting on this so that we can secure a stronger agreement. And so one member of that coalition who's with Concerned Citizens of Point Breeze testified concerns around, okay, so, you know, these construction jobs that are talked about a lot will be temporary. What the communities surrounding this property really need are protections against displacement through gentrification. If this development is to exacerbate and accelerate gentrification that's happening in some of these South Philly
neighborhoods. That's a good point. That's a good point. Because so, it's already happening in South Philly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So those are kind of some of the points of what I've heard about, you know, like limitations of this commitment. I will say those comments made around, you know, needing to delay this approval to get a stronger commitment. The company acknowledged to me that they had heard some dissatisfaction with a draft of this commitment and then modified the draft in response. But when I asked like, okay, so what changed, they declined to specify the exact changes. But yeah, that's some of what I heard through my reporting around like kind of the strength of this commitment.
For sure. And do you see this project, you know, and everything that's rolling out with it actually helping with the sustainability that we're looking for in the city of Philadelphia?
I think so one point that the company will you know has made repeatedly, which is undeniably true, is that, you know, they are not a refinery. Yeah. And so what they're you know working on developing is not going to be the same as what was there for, you know, generations. And so, and I guess to put that in context, the PES refinery was the largest single source of air pollution. It was like the biggest point source of air pollution in the city, which mm-hmm. is not super surprising. Mm-hmm. And so, like I mentioned, there are concerns about, you know, trucking associated with this logistics hub. I've also heard concerns about the regrading of the property that I mentioned, the paving of the property, and what that could mean for flood risk. The company has worked with FEMA on, you know, looking at the impact of the regrading on flooding, and they said that there shouldn't be an offsite impact. So some of this, you know, we have to kind of see how it plays out. But I think, yeah, big picture, this is not a refinery. But then there, I have certainly heard concerns about kind of the details of the plan.
When do they see it actually being finished? Like, when do they see the project being done and ready for the city of Philadelphia to actually be able to utilize all of what we're talking about now?
I know that. So like I mentioned, there's just two buildings are currently in process. Mm-hmm. And so I would need to actually look up the timeline to find for you when they're going to be finished. But those are sort of, if we're thinking about like in the very near term future, it's part of the logistics hub. One sort of indication on how fast this thing will roll out or be actually built and leased. the company in asking for an extension of these tax breaks, which it's a Keystone Opportunity Zone. So it's a state program that's designed to incentivize private investment in properties that are underdeveloped. In arguing for an extension, the current zone ends in 2033. So they asked for a 10-year extension to 43. Okay. And council did approve that. It still needs some other approval steps. They were arguing that the primary sort of beneficiaries of these tax breaks will be the tenants. So the companies that lease the space, and that by 2033, many of those tenants would not be there yet. And so that does sound like maybe some construction will still be going on at that point, or at least some leasing out, you know, almost a decade from now.
And Sophie, we're going to keep you in the loop because we want to stay in the loop. So please make sure you stay connected and tap with us when it comes down to this situation, because we want to know what's going on. Especially for ourselves and Southwest Philadelphia residents that's always listening to us here on EcoWord. Sophie, can you tell the people where they can find you? Stay locked so they can definitely check out your article so they can get more acquainted to what's going on as well.
Yes, yes. Please follow us because it's such an interesting and like very, very important for our city storyline with this redevelopment. So you can find all of my coverage on whyy.org.
Thank you so much, Sophie. We're about to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, you'll hear more from your girl POC. We tapped in EcoWord. We'll be right back. Radio's up.